This is The Invisible War with evangelist and author Dr. Rob Randall. There is a bigger battle going on in the world right now than we can even see. A battle that has existed since the beginning of time. This is not a war between countries, but an all-out assault on the very soul of people everywhere. Lives are being defeated and destroyed. Marriages are falling apart at an unprecedented rate. Children are rebelling against everything they've been taught. Addictions are rampant to everything you can think of. And all of this is the result of a spiritual war, which is the invisible war. And yet, there is hope. Rob Randall is a third-generation evangelist who has devoted his life to seeing people who have come to the end of themselves find a true life of promise and healing. The Invisible War is a journey that will lead us on the road to freedom and the path of fulfillment. There are no quick fixes, only a process, but it begins with the first step. So here's Rob Randall to take us through this journey one step at a time as we find hope in the Invisible War.
Well, good morning, and thank you once again for tuning in to today's broadcast of the Invisible War radio program. The Invisible War is a study, frankly, unlike any other program out there, because it is dedicated to revealing the truth of God's Word as it relates to the spiritual battle that exists all around us. It's also great to have Dr. Randall with us again today, as we continue the teaching from Dr. Randall's new book called Lies That Kill. And Rob, you take the truth of God's Word on this subject very seriously, don't you?
You know, the Bible is a supernatural book about the supernatural. It's what it is. It's not just a history book. It's not just a religious book. It is those things, but it is more than that. It is a supernatural book written by Holy Spirit, given to us by God about the supernatural. And so it is a great privilege that is ours, a wonderful, high, and holy privilege to come to you with a study of the supernatural, the work of God, the work of God that He has bought for you at Calvary through the blood of His Son that's available to anyone and everyone, no matter what culture, no matter what creed, no matter what religion, no matter what background, educated or uneducated, it is available to anyone who will receive Christ as their personal Savior and Lord.
Let me remind you to go to our website if you've missed any of the programs on this very important subject. Go to theinvisiblewar.org and click on the broadcast button, and then you can listen to any of the past programs for free. This will be especially helpful as we go through each chapter, just in case you have to miss one along the way. Go to theinvisiblewar.org, and you'll find all of the past programs right there. Now, Rob, before we get going, you have a very special announcement you'd like to share with everyone.
This is Dr. Rob Randall, and I want to personally invite you to our next Invisible War conference. It's a two-day event. Save the date, October 21st and 22nd. It's at the Getaway Cabins in Weatherford, Texas. Let me encourage you to register early. If you need accommodations at the retreat center itself, there are cabins available first come, first serve. Let me encourage you to register early. Go to the website, theinvisiblewar.org. Click on the conference registration prompts, and all of the details of this wonderful two-day event are there for you. I look forward to meeting with you and praying with you as we share these wonderful days together, October 21st and 22nd, at the Getaway Cabins in Weatherford, Texas.
So be sure to sign up today, especially if you would like to take advantage of the cabin space that is right there at the retreat center. Go to our website, theinvisiblewar.org, and go through the steps by clicking on the conference registration button. This is our first ever two-day event. So sign up now at theinvisiblewar.org. This chapter that we're in has been extremely eye-opening because it hits so close to home for many of us. And because of that, it is something we can also fall victim to pretty easily if we're not careful. Rob, you have a lot of new information that you want to share with us. So let's get right into the topic today.
Last week, we did a summary of where we are in our study of this book, Lies That Kill, The Supernatural Battle for Truth. We're in chapter 6. This crafted lie of the evil one. All I need to do is get back in church and everything will be okay. You know, you may need to get back in church. We're not opposed to the church in any kind of way, but hear me. There are so many religious counterfeits. We spent last week summarizing so many of those, and if you have missed that study, I want to encourage you to go to our website, theinvisiblewar.org. That's theinvisiblewar.org. Click on the broadcast button, and there you can navigate through all of the programs and all of this teaching of the whole book as we continue to study this most important matter of lies that kill. But we come today to what I believe to be the most hideous of the religious counterfeits, and that is Christian materialism. Materialism as a philosophy means that if it's not seen, if you can't see it, feel it, touch it, if it's not material, then it's not real. And so when you put the word Christian materialism to it, it contaminates the Christian religion, if you please, or that which the Lord has given us, because so much of what God has given to us, Paul puts it very simply, he says that the eternal matters are the things not seen. It is the temporal things that are seen. So the eternal, the matters of God, are supernatural. They're not natural. So if we try to judge the work of God through the senses, through the natural, we'll miss him. We'll miss him. And so we have this overriding, overruling philosophy of materialism that has invaded so much of the church thinking. Much of the Christian world in America has been seduced by one of a strategically crafted deception of the evil one called Christian materialism. This deception is a compromised religious system that leaves the believer powerless in the supernatural war with the powers of darkness. It is an attempt to give religious justification to our selfish desires to possess and then use those possessions for the purposes of illicit personal power and control. Christian materialism is a toxic brew of worldly philosophies and practices mixed with religious traditions and Christian-like verbiage, purposely crafted to make it acceptable to its vulnerable carnal target. It is a carefully crafted cover for the invasion of a false god, that's right, a demon, called Mammon. This is a chief demon, and he seeks to bring us into spiritual bondage through the offering of this alluring false religious system as a substitute for our worship of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as in any false religious system, Christian materialism looks good, it sounds good, and of course, it feels good. Tragically, however, when its covering of religious traditions and ecclesiastical rituals are removed, we find a deadly demonic scheme whose purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. The only way to clearly recognize the enemy's deceptions is to measure them against the truth of God, the truth of God as revealed to us in His Word. One of the false tenets of Christian materialism is God wants you to have money. Therefore, the possession of money is a sign of God's favor and blessing. Now, hear carefully today. Don't hear what I don't say. Please hear what I do say. Of course, money may be an indicator of God's blessings, but not always. Why would God, who is wise and good, give riches to someone who was not spiritually mature enough to honor him with those riches? Luke chapter 16, verse 10 through 13. We can observe the influence of this false religious system in many church practices of today. One such practice is the choosing of leaders based on their worldly possessions. The Bible warns us about this dangerous practice. Jesus said in Matthew 23, verse 10 through 12, "And do not be called leaders, for one is your leader, that is Christ, but the greatest among you shall be your servant, and whoever exalts himself shall be humbled, and whoever humbles himself shall be exalted. Instead of looking to those who might help finance our selfish agendas, we should be looking first and foremost to those whose lives manifest the Spirit of Christ with a humble servant's heart for positions of leadership. Jesus said of himself in Matthew 20, verse 28, "The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve." Many a pastor's spiritual integrity has been compromised because he has embraced at some level this crafty deception of Christian materialism. Instead of shepherds, Jesus calls them hirelings in John chapter 10, verse 12 through 13. Does not the stark contrast of the spiritual record speak clearly of the incompatibility between true Christianity and materialism? There is a constant warning throughout the Bible concerning putting our trust in riches for temporal and selfish purposes. Proverbs 30, verse 8, and Matthew chapter 6, verse 21, and James chapter 5, verse 1 through 6. Jesus called riches deceitful. That's right, he called them deceitful in Matthew chapter 13, verse 22. We must always be reminded that the one we call the rich young ruler wanted eternal life, but never received it because he could not obey the Lord with regard to his riches. We find that in Luke chapter 18, verses 18 through 25. The Christ of Calvary we have decided to follow was a man of virtually no worldly possessions. Jesus himself had no place to lay his head. Matthew chapter 8, verse 20. He was buried in a borrowed tomb. He said of his ministry that the Spirit of God had anointed him to preach the gospel to the poor. Luke chapter 4, verse 18. Peter had neither silver nor gold, Acts chapter 3, verse 6. And Paul, as an itinerant evangelist, lived in places he did not own. Today he might even be considered homeless. And by the standards of Christian materialism, Christ, Peter, and Paul all would be disqualified for leadership in many of our churches today. Please hear me. I've been to Africa. I've seen the churches. The last church that I ministered in Africa, in Tanzania, the pews were literally honed out of stone. It's amazing. Looked like Fred Flintstone Church, I often thought about. The church furniture had been honed out of stone. The floor was dirt. They kept it clean. They brushed the dirt. They had a broom just for brushing the dirt and making sure the dirt was as clean as possible. But let me ask you, how do you think Christian materialism works in Africa? How do you think that works? How would you ever walk into that culture and say, the Lord wants to bless you with riches if you'll follow him? If you truly trust him, if you truly follow him, he will give you great riches. It doesn't work. And it doesn't work in Dallas. I understand. Dallas is my home. It's the reason why I bring it up. It is the place of my birth. It is a world center for trading and mercantile. It is a merchandising city of world renown. We understand that, but hear me. We cannot allow materialism to invade the church as it seems to be accepted in so many churches today. The Bible also gives a clear warning concerning such prejudice with regard to the favoring of the wealthy over the poor in the church. In James chapter 2, verse 1 through 5. Just as a counterfeit dollar is rarely recognized except by those familiar with the authentic bill, this counterfeit religious system of the enemy can only be exposed through the authentic truth of God's Word. It is also critically important to ask, where does the money come from? Some chosen for leadership in the church today have and are receiving their riches by disregarding and disobeying God's Word. In Christian materialism, the end justifies the means. It doesn't matter how you get the money, since God is all about having you money, quote unquote, Just get it! Selfish gambling practices, crooked and corrupt business deals, and some have even received their wealth through the sorrow and pain of the neglected and vulnerable. And this is warned against in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 6 through 9. Even in the face of the teaching of the Scripture concerning the prohibition of usury practices among those in the family of God, Deuteronomy 23, verse 19 through 20, even in the face of what God's Word says, many churches have chosen their leaders among the ranks of the spiritually disobedient. You see, if the money or anything else we possess has been received from a wicked or ungodly source or through the disobeying and disregarding of God's Word, 2 Timothy 3, verse 6 through 9, and Deuteronomy 23, verses 19 through 20. Please hear me today. It may have unholy and demonic attachments to it for the purpose of stealing God's glory. And in such cases, it must be spiritually cleaned up through prayer and repentance while dedicating it to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ alone, or it may need to be discarded. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 through 18, and Acts chapter 19, verse 18 through 19. Another false tenet of Christian materialism is, please hear it with your heart, prosperity is the result of the abundance of money and worldly possessions. Dr. Randall, you ask, don't the Scriptures teach prosperity? Yes, of course they do. In 3 John, verse 2, we read, Beloved, I pray that in all respects you may prosper and be in good health, just as your soul prospers. Here's the problem. We have allowed our worldly environment instead of Scripture to falsely define prosperity. There are 11 words in the Bible that are translated prosper or prosperity. Not one. That's right. Not one of those is necessarily related to money. These words given to us by the Holy Spirit, translated prosperity, mean to go on well without hindrance. Prosperity means to go in peace. You may be asking, are you saying, Dr. Randall, that money is evil? Absolutely not. It's not the money that is evil. It is the love, the worship of money. For the love, the worship of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Now that's a lot. All kinds of evil. And some by longing for it have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many a pang. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10. The question is not whether we do or do not possess money. The question is better asked, does money possess us? What is our attitude? The condition of our heart concerning money? Is it the desire of our hearts to honor the Lord Jesus in the handling of whatever He has given us? If not, there's a spiritual rat in the woodpile. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, would you hear it with your heart? And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. True Christian stewardship comes down to ownership and gratitude. It is Christ who is Lord of all. John chapter 3, verse 31, and Ephesians 1, 20 and 22, and Philippians 2, 9 through 11. He is Lord. He is Lord of all. Everything belongs to Him. The earth is the Lord's, and all that it contains, the world, and all those who dwell in it, Psalm 24, verse 1. He is Jehovah Jireh. He is our provider. He is the God of our provision. It is His nature to provide for His own, Matthew chapter 7, verse 9 through 11, and Philippians 4, 19. Listen to the word, Ephesians 1, verse 3. Please receive it today. What a joy it is to see the truth and to receive the truth of God. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. And in James chapter 1, verse 17, we are told, every good thing bestowed and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. As the Heavenly Father allows us to share in His provision, it is to be used in gratitude and glory to Him. Do you see it? All things exist for the glory of God alone, Colossians 1, verse 16. When you and I allow anything or anyone other than our Lord Jesus to receive the glory for what He has done and for which He alone deserves, we become accomplices in Satan's rebellion. Here is what all of us must face, hopefully sooner rather than later. We can't have it both ways. No matter what we have been taught through the false religious system of Christian materialism, no one has ever been or will ever be able to serve God and mammon, riches. Matthew 6, verse 24. When the two are bundled together by the strands of a false religious practice, the result becomes a convoluted, contaminated counterfeit always used by the enemy. We're not off the hook just because Christian materialism is a crafty deception. Each of us must look carefully at any area where we might have believed the lies of the enemy rather than the truth of God's Word. Our very freedom in Christ is at stake. No matter how many times we say it or how hard our flesh wants to believe it, God will not contradict His Word. Remember, all the enemy needs to invade the church, invade our lives, invade our children, invade our marriages, invade our families, and bring his evil corruption upon us, is simply to disobey God's Word. In the practice of Christian materialism, one will discover an absence of the manifestation of God's power, which always results in spiritual defeat. To renounce all the workings of the powers of darkness within your life as a result of any involvement of Christian materialism and to receive God's cleansing, please, right now, would you pray with me? Would you pray this prayer with me as we denounce this together? Lord Jesus, we thank you today. We thank you that we can turn from our sin. There is a way that you have provided in Jesus to be able to turn from our sin and to turn to you, to be cleansed of where we have disobeyed your word. Lord, I ask you in Jesus' name to guide us into that place of humility. God resists the proud, but he gives his grace, his gifts of salvation, his gift of cleansing to the humble. So, Lord, help us today. We're not very good at this. We want to stay in charge. We're afraid of losing control. And yet you are Lord of all. So, Lord, I ask that you would forgive us where we have cooperated with mammon, where we have sought to gain through religion, through religious practices, wherever our thoughts have been turned toward the stuff, the material, instead of the supernatural provision of the Father. We ask for your forgiveness. We ask, Lord, that you would cleanse us of it today. May all that we are and all that we have honor you. We give you our possessions. We give you our bank accounts. We give you our lives. Everything that you have provided for us, we give it back to you for your purposes. And we thank you. We thank you that you are faithful and that you hear our prayer. And you are faithful to cleanse and cleanse and cleanse and cleanse. Wash us, Lord, that when we give our offerings to you, it might be done in righteousness for your glory. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Now, if you've prayed with me today, I'd like to hear about it. Would you contact me? Let me share what the Lord's doing in your life. Let me share with you. your burdens, your prayer concerns, email me through the website, theinvisiblewar.org. That's theinvisiblewar.org. Or you can call me toll-free, 1-877-808-8886. Thank you for listening. We look forward next week as we continue our study in Lies That Kill, the Supernatural Battle for Truth on the Invisible War.
This has been the weekly radio program called The Invisible War with Rob Randall. You don't have to live defeated, heartbroken, or in bondage to anything. Give everything you are to everything He is, and you will begin to see your life transformed into the life He has made you to be, for your sake and for everyone around you. Remember to check out theinvisiblewar.org for resources, podcast information, and just a place to let us know how to pray for you. We'll see you next time on The Invisible War.